As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the book of Isaiah, chapter 27 and the 13th verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Chapter 27, 13th verse, the book of Isaiah. This is a subject from which I hope grace will be given to say something that will be helpful to you and enable you to encourage your soul in God. There are various viewpoints from which I would approach it, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And now, without going into details in approaching the subject, you will understand at once that the great trumpet sets forth the gospel trumpet and the proclamation of it down through the ages. In the setting of the subject, there is also a reference to when Israel of old were brought out of Babylonish captivity and were helped to return to the land of promise and there worship God aright again as they had aforetime. But it reaches much farther than that. I like how this is worded. The Holy Spirit has used such language that poor sinners born again can indeed take courage. First of all, it shall come to pass in that day. And now, dear friends, some of you have grown old and grey-headed in listening to the gospel trumpet being blown by the servants of God ordained to do so. And can you go back to that day when your ear, first of all, was opened and made attent to the gospel trumpet's joyful sound, when you desire to enter into that scripture, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. It is a great day to come into our lives, if any of us can look back to such a day, and I am sure many of you under Union Chapel roof can do so. A day when it could be said, blessed are your ears, for they hear. You had heard, it may be, hundreds of sermons before, but you had never heard the gospel as you did in that day, when it seemed to come to you as though the preacher was saying, thou art the man I am preaching to. And from that day to this, you have delighted to hear the gospel trumpet blown, and how glad you are when it has been to you good tidings of great joy, and you could declare the watchmen that go about the city, they found me. You may say, I hope there was a day in my life when I did hear the gospel, and first of all felt the blessed reality of it, but not as much as I should like to have done, and I have not done yet as I should like to do. So heard the gospel trumpet blowing that all my ifs and buts and hows were scattered, and I could feel as I want to feel, my Lord and my God. Do look again at this sentence. And it shall come to pass, as sure as your ear has been made attent to hear what God the Lord will say to you, the day is to dawn. It may not be with some of you till your dying day, but this word cannot be nullified, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come. As sure as you are made the character referred to, one who is ready to perish for want of that which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven, or the outcast, one who looks on the people of God and you feel deep down in your heart, I cannot bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? And now I want to look at the adjective here, and it is said, the great trumpet shall be blown. I want to show you how it is that the Spirit of God designates it great. Have you ever noticed in reading when the law was promulgated on Sinai's Mount? There was a trumpet blown then, and it is very evident no mortal man blew that trumpet. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him with a voice. Who blew that trumpet? God blew that trumpet, the trumpet of the law. And there is something to be known and felt in every sinner's experience who has the mercy to be taught of God. There is the law as it thunders from Mount Sinai, whereby poor sinners taught of God enter into this word. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall convince the world of sin. And now, I do not emphasize to what depth you must go in your soul's experience in what is called a law work. Some are taught by terrible things in righteousness. Many more are taught here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But I do emphasize this, and I shall stress it in my ministry as long as I live. What did the people do at this time, as I read to you? The voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Everyone must know what it is to tremble under the law, because the word of God says, to this man will I look that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at thy word. I turn aside to make a comment there. The word contrite means pounded to pieces. That which is hard, reduced to pieces, powder, contrite. And now, every sinner taught of God, sooner or later, whether the process be, as I said, by terrible things in righteousness, or by more gentle means over a long time, each one, every one, comes at length to this. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. And they have to put their mouth in the dust of self-abasement, if so be there may be hope. And as they are before Sinai's mount under the law, they know what it is to be made contrite. In their soul's feelings, they're helpless and hopeless. And they have to accept the punishment of their iniquity and confess, if my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. And then they know what it is to tremble. Yet save a trembling sinner, Lord, whose soul still hovering round thy word would light upon some promise there, some sure support against despair. And now when that lesson has been learned, deep down, the Spirit of God brings that sinner so taught of God to where the great trumpet of the gospel is blown. And there he hears good tidings of great joy. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one which believeth. And as he listens to the gospel, he finds love's redeeming work is done, fought the fight, the battle won. And what a wondrous note it is, that gospel trumpet makes known in the word of the Saviour on Calvary's cross, "It is finished," cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word, full salvation's in it. And now these things I've just hinted at are preparatory to hearing the gospel trumpet blown to purpose. You will be found where it is being blown by some servant of God ordained to do so, and your ear will be attent to what God the Lord will say for your soul's profit and peace. And now I come back to this adjective, great. It is a very important word. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. Why do you think the Holy Spirit has recorded this word great? Great trumpet. The reason, dear friends, is this. Only God can blow it. God has his servants whom he raises up, and he ordains them to preach the gospel. But when all is said and done, it must be by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven that the gospel is made a reality in any poor sinner's soul. Although the preacher may indeed have a commission from God with "Thus saith the Lord," unless the Holy Spirit is his helper and communicates power through the blowing of the trumpet, there will be no signs following. You do need to keep that in mind. Hence the Apostle Paul emphasizes that viewpoint again and again. Brethren, pray for us, praying always, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The great trumpet, and every man ordained of God to preach, is solemnly, painfully aware that only God can blow the trumpet, and unless God is its helper, it will be just a sermon put together with words, and not the gospel as good tidings of great joy to delight the hearers' hearts. The great trumpet. Then, it is the great trumpet because it proclaims a great message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a great message that is. And some of you have said thank you to God for it. The Savior died and by his blood brought rebel sinners near to God. He died to set the captives free and say, my soul, why not for thee? Great trumpet proclaiming a great message. And that message is great in its simplicity. As I have grown older in preaching the gospel, I have found in my heart a concern more and more increasing to preach the gospel in its simplicity. And you will find that Jesus Christ, when he went about preaching his own gospel, as he alone could preach it, oh, he was wonderfully simple. Yes. Him that cometh unto me, I will never, no, never, no, never cast out. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel in the proclamation of it does not need to be elaborated, but it is just this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And all who hear it aright will go on in their own soul's feelings of whom I am chief. There is no need to argue about it or to compare notes as to our soul's experience. It is just what you feel before God when you tell him all the truth. No sinner needed mercy more that ever sought thy face. The great trumpet tells of a great message, and that is a message from God. As the sinner's friend, this man receiveth sinners. And then, this message is not only great in its simplicity, it is great in its sufficiency. In the gospel there is proclaimed everything a poor sinner needs to be made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. A fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. And when you hear the gospel, I'm assuming now you are hearing it for the first time, you will find it is not only the great trumpet proclaiming a great message, great in its simplicity, great in its sufficiency, you will realize it is great in its suitability to your soul's needs. It tells of the righteousness without which you cannot appear before God. And having been under the law and stripped of all your fancied meetness to approach the dread I am, when the gospel proclaims the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, it will be alluring to you. It will be great in its suitability to your soul's needs. If guilt disturb thy peace, or Satan harass thee, behold the Saviour's righteousness, which sets the guilty free. But then, I should have told you this at first. The great trumpet, the gospel trumpet, is great because it tells of a Saviour and a great one. And such an one as you need. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. A great Saviour for great sinners. But then, there is this viewpoint of it. The gospel, in the proclamation of it, is a great trumpet when you think that it is great in its origin. Where did it originate? The Word of God tells us it is the everlasting gospel. Therefore, it originated before time was born or the world was built. It is that which, shall I say this with great reverence, welled up in the mind of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity, the Father ordaining a number to be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation in the fullness of time, and the Son guaranteeing to do love's redeeming work and live on earth as verily man and keep the law on behalf of all that vast host the Father had ordained, and die in their stead and rise again on their behalf, and he lives in heaven for them interceding. The great trumpet, great in its origin. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. Then when you listen to the gospel, it is good to keep in mind it is the great trumpet because of its great guarantees. And what are those guarantees? A sure welcome for any poor sinner conscious of his need of what Jesus Christ is as the sinner's friend. A sure welcome is guaranteed at the throne of grace. How would the powers of darkness boast if but one praying soul were lost? And once your ear is attent to hear the great trumpet being blown in the gospel proclamation, God has guaranteed he which hath begun the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It guarantees, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Then the gospel is like the great trumpet when you think how great it is in its consequences. Millions of poor sinners have heard the gospel. God has sent out his servants ordained to preach, equipped and qualified to do so. And in ages past, especially from the days of Pentecost on, the great trumpet has been blown and wonderful consequences have followed. poor sinners have been born again under it, and blessed indeed under it, and made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. They have journeyed on through life, some of them through much tribulation, and they have ever found the gospel bears my spirits up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in oaths and promises and blood. Oh, there have been great consequences following the preaching of the gospel, and there will be many more consequences like that to be seen as the future unfolds. God, in giving the gospel of his grace, has allotted it a work to do, and that is that all his dear people shall be gathered together in one, so that at the last great day there will be a number which no man can number, who have journeyed through life and lived under the gospel and listened to it with ears to hear and lived their lives in what the gospel proclaimed as the pattern of the life that they should live. It shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. Much might be said along that line of thought, but let us look at the subject from another viewpoint. And thinking on this subject, hoping it was the right one to bring before you, it impressed my mind in thinking that whoever it is blows the gospel trumpet, ordained of God to do so, there are varied men in many lands ordained of God to do so, but they are all one in their testimony. And I thought of what is recorded when Solomon built the temple, and I will read it to you. It came even to pass, do listen, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. You remember that Moses was commanded by God to make two trumpets and make them all of a piece. That is, that there might be perfect clarity in the trumpet sound. But it means something deeper down than that. Whenever you hear a man whom God has ordained to preach, and remember to treat one who is young, ordained of God to preach, kindly in how you listen to him, and not expect him to go so deep into your soul's experience if you have travelled on twice as far as he has lived. But a young minister will bring a young minister's message, but God will own it, and you will receive it as that which is given him by God to proclaim, because they are all of a piece. And now the gospel trumpet is blown, you will feel there is reality in the preaching, and you will say thank you to God as one and another is raised up. And do not forget Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. For the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. There will always be this oneness. The gospel trumpet is all of a piece. And every man ordained to blow that trumpet will tell the same tale. One in doctrine, one in the experience flowing out of it, one in the godly practice which must ever follow as you hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow and go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. There are many in the world at the present time whom God has raised up to blow the gospel trumpet, and they are doing his work which he has ordained for them to do. No other man ordained of God can do that work. Each one has his own work. And it has always astonished me throughout my ministerial life that ever there should be envy or jealousy among men who hope they are ordained of God to preach because one may be made more useful apparently than another. No man ordained of God knows just how useful he is in his laboring, in word and doctrine, wherever God ordains his labors to be. There is to be this oneness in the proclamation of the gospel. And what does that mean? Salvation is of the Lord. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To bring forth any doings of the great I, as if there were any merit in such works, would be a false note in the gospel trumpet being blown, but no man ordained of God will ever blow the trumpet with a false note in it. Much might be said under that heading, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And just a further comment I want to make on that oneness. When the gospel trumpet was blown, first of all, to usher in what we call the gospel day in which you and I are living, when Jesus Christ had come down into this world and done love's redeeming work and returned to heaven, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, do listen, they were all with one accord in one place. And you can look through the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, and you will see a number of times as they gathered together, they were all with one accord. And now that is how you must gather together to hear the gospel. Each of you with a heart to receive it and God-given ears to hear it. You must all be found with one accord. All to do with the flesh must be left outside, and you must aim to be one with each other, one with God, and with one accord to hear what he will say to you in the gospel for your soul's peace and profit. And where you get that unity of the Spirit, there the gospel trumpet will be blown, and it will be known as the power of God unto salvation to every one which believeth. And now let us look at another viewpoint of this subject. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. This is, as I said at the outset, a reference to Israel when they were in far-off lands in captivity. But when Cyrus wrought a great deliverance on their behalf and made a proclamation that they had the liberty and privilege to return to the homeland, those which were ready to perish, and the outcasts, those who found it in their hearts to do so, were unable to do so, and to their great joy and surprise found they were again in the land of promise, and ultimately did worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. But there is a greater scope in these words. The gospel is to be preached to everybody, but everybody will not receive it. The carnal mind is enmity against God, and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Those who come up to hear what God the Lord will say are those who are in this category, ready to perish, or else they feel to be outcasts. I've already given you a few hints how poor sinners are made to feel ready to perish when dealt with under the law. Ready to perish for want of the righteousness which the law demands them to produce. And without producing it, there is the sentence, cursed is the man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, but poor sinners taught of God and stripped of all their fancied meekness to approach the dread I am, they are brought to this state, ready to perish for the want of that which the law demands and which they know they cannot produce, not one stitch of the righteousness which the law demands. Righteousness to full perfection must be brought, lacking naught, fearless of rejection. And now these are the people who were glad to hear the great trumpet blown. And while they may have been brought up under the gospel from baby days on, they have heard hundreds of sermons, it may be. It is not till they are brought to realize they are ready to perish, and nothing else can satisfy, give me Christ or else I die, that they all at once begin to learn what the gospel really is. That it is indeed a joyful sound as it proclaims a remedy. And that remedy they want to possess in their own soul's experience. How good it is when you can be under the gospel and be in a listening attitude. Sometimes you are not in such a frame of mind, and sometimes you hear, what is the gospel preached, and other people get good, and you seem to get nothing for your soul, and that makes you feel more ready to perish than ever. It does not mean that the gospel has overlooked you, though. Go back to the opening words, and it shall come to pass in that day. And there is a day when you will realize what the Savior said. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And there are many characteristics whereby you feel under the gospel, ready to perish as you journey on through life. Sometimes you get such a consciousness of your guiltiness before God, which you know every man, the plague of his own heart, that you feel no sinner needed mercy more, that ever sought God's face, and you feel ready to perish and ready to question depth of mercy. Can there be mercy for a wretch like me? And now it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and it will sound a note or two to encourage such poor sinners to hope in God, however ready to perish they may feel in their soul's experience. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Sometimes you feel ready to perish because you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, and Satan has many fiery darts to hurl at you, and sometimes you can hardly tell what you are or where you are, and you cannot always tell the difference between what Satan is suggesting and what is welling up in your own evil heart of unbelief. But the ultimate issue is you are ready to perish and you need help from God. And the gospel trumpet, when it is blown, will encourage you as a poor tempted sinner, ready to perish, still to wait on God. And it will make plain, he was tempted that he might succor every tempted son. Jesus Christ, he has wisdom, ability, and grace to help every tempted sinner ready to perish who desires to have matters made right between his soul and God. I like that word of hearts, God's own foe may plague his sons, sin may distress but not subdue, Christ who for us conquered once will in us conquer too. And that is a note in the gospel trumpet as it is blown by men ordained of God to do so. Then sometimes when trouble like a gloomy cloud gathers thick and thunders loud, you may come up under the gospel to hear it and feel, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me, and this trouble, whatever its nature, fills your mind. And then the gospel trumpet is blown and you hear a sweet note. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And you come in that category. Much might be said as to how poor sinners are ready to perish, but you know quite a little about it, some of you, as you have journeyed on through life, ready to perish, and sometimes feel prayerless and praiseless. And yet still the gospel trumpet blows with a note of encouragement. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. But here is another word, a striking word, outcasts. And now I've no time left to say much about that character, but there are such characters under the gospel who can hardly tell what they are or where they are in the things of God. They're like that woman in the gospel, of whom it says, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And now that woman was unclean under the law, but such was her case, and such were the promptings in her heart, though she felt to be an outcast, she pressed through the crowd, and with the hand of her faith, she did touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and she got what she wanted. she was helped and healed. And the prodigal son, he was an outcast of a truth. But he said, I will arise and go unto my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. You know how the father met him. While he was yet afar off, his father saw him, ran to meet him, fell on his neck and kissed him. And now, that is just the gospel of the grace of God. It shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And regarding these outcasts, Joseph Hart has a word, Lord, pity outcasts, vile and base, but poor dependence on thy grace, whom men disturbers call. By sinner and by saint withstood, for these two bad and those two good, condemned and shunned by all. Sometimes poor sinners feel to be like that in the dealings of God with their souls, not fit to be among the people of God as one of them, but they cannot be in the world and of it and be at home in it. Reminds me of what one old man, a godly man, said at the dipper in a public prayer meeting, Lord, it doesn't seem that I belong to thy people when I look at them and think of what they know and how thou art their God. And I know the world ain't my people. It seems, Lord, I be one all on my own. He was an outcast, but he is well laid in the grave. He made a good end. And so will you, even if you should feel this Sabbath afternoon. You cannot say much about the dealings of God with your souls. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. And they shall come, which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. The Lord help you to ponder these things in your heart. Amen.